7 FM, Arizona's sports station, Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
Nice song.
Huh.
I don't really, you know, love the California teams, but it was too fitting not to play.
Nice song, Eric. Yeah, way to go. 3 o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo show. Live from the Auction Community Studios, John Gambadoro, Dave Burns hanging out with you.
What's the best song with California in it?
California Girls by the Beach Boys?
I would be, what's the, Mamas and the Papas, California Dreamin'?
Yeah. Hotel California?
Hotel, don't get Gambo started about Hotel California.
I take that back. I didn't even bring it up.
It's a Satan-worshipping song. Californication by the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I go California Dreamin', the Mamas and the Papas.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
That would be my choice.
A lot of options there. Unfortunately, for fans of the Arizona Cardinals, none of them are good options. There was actually a press conference today, Gambo, held by the Arizona Super Bowl host committee, and Cardinals owner Michael Bidwell was there. And in quotes that were gathered up by AZ Central's Kent Summers, he was asked about where they stand as an organization and about the fact that the Rams and the Niners, two division rivals, are meeting in the NFC Championship game. Quote, anytime you see your direct competitors in the playoffs, it should bother any football fan, and it certainly bothers this one. Close quote. The 49ers and the Rams, two of the Cardinals' division rivals, meeting up in the conference championship, and that one stings, Gambo, badly.
Let's start with the 49ers.
Okay.
Cardinals beat them up. Week 8. The 49ers are 3-5. 3-5. They look dead, just about buried. Still, like, outside, you know, you don't put the nail in the coffin, but, man, it didn't look good. It didn't look good. They were 3-5, and you had to think that that team was in some trouble. They make the playoffs. They win two playoff games. They're one win from a Super Bowl. There's possibility of a trilogy with the 49ers and the Bengals that people are talking about. But, I mean, honestly, I mean, what a remarkable turnaround for a team that was, I mean, they were 3-5. Didn't look very good, yet they come back, they make the playoffs, they win two games, and now they're one win away from going to the Super Bowl. And they get a chance to play a team that they've absolutely owned.
Yeah, and before we talk about the team that they absolutely own, let's spend a minute talking about the 49ers, because what they did on Saturday night was remarkable. They got a lot of help, obviously. Green Bay special teams were a disaster. The blocked field goal, the blocked punt, only having 10 guys on the field when Robbie Gould hit his field goal. But think about what the Niners have done, and I like where you're going here, kind of looking at the big picture, the fact that they started 3-5, the fact that they've won 7 of their last 9, the fact that, I mean, say what you want about the quality of the competition, if you will, but in the last 3 weeks, the 49ers, all in win-or-go-home circumstances, have gone to L.A. and beaten the Rams, have gone to Dallas and beaten the Cowboys, and have gone to Green Bay and beaten the Packers, all on the road, all in win or you're done situations. You can hate them all you want if you're a Cardinals fan. That's damn impressive. And I, too, was writing off the 49ers big time all season long. You know, we were having this running competition and conversation about which NFC West team do you think is done? And you rightfully voted for the Seattle Seahawks. I was on that 49ers bandwagon all season. I thought that the quarterback situation was going to be a mess, and that was the big trick here, Gambo. It was never about the quarterback situation in San Francisco. It's about their defense. It's about their run game. It's about Debo Samuel, who is, I mean, if he weren't on a division rival for the Cardinals, he'd be one of my favorite players in the NFL. I love watching that guy ball. Love it.
I mean, how about that return? I mean, special teams, the return by Debo Samuel. That was a huge play in the game for them. They won 5 out of 7 down the stretch. They get a home game at SoFi Stadium now. You know, do you see what the Rams are doing for tickets in this game?
Yeah, they're limiting it to, like, what, LA-based area codes or zip codes or something like that, trying to keep the San Francisco 49er riffraff out. Yeah, I saw that.
Man, that's hilarious. I got such a kick out of that they're doing everything they can to kind of – because of the last time the 49ers kind of invaded – and it ended up being basically a home game for San Francisco to Matthew Stafford's wife, had to go on and plead not to sell your tickets to Cardinal fans for the next game. And I mean, it just got, that was bad. Look, you give them credit. But you're exactly right, man. This is not about the quarterback.
Nope.
That's the lowest quarterback rating by a 49er starting quarterback in a playoff game ever, 57.1. They're winning games without Jimmy Garoppolo doing a damn thing. He didn't do anything in that football game, but they're winning. And so now you got to make the decision if you're them, like, well, you know, what do you keep Garoppolo? Do you go to Trey Lance? But, you know, you look at the last couple of games, you know, I think he's got last three games, I think he has five interceptions, and I think maybe is a one touchdown pass.
You're talking about Jimmy G now?
Jimmy G. Jimmy G, the last three games that he played as their starting quarterback, I believe he's got four or five, and one interception. He's not playing well. It's not like they won, but they win with him. They seem to, you know, and you're right, they're winning because their defense is getting pressure on the quarterback and they're making plays and because Debo is amazing. They're not necessarily winning because of Jimmy Garoppolo, but Jimmy Garoppolo is their starting quarterback and they've won all these games with him.
The last four games?
That's like the last three. Before the Rams. That was Trey Lance, whoever they played.
Last three games, it's four interceptions and one touchdown pass. Yeah,
yeah,
and
those are
the Rams, the Cowboys, and Green Bay. And again,
this isn't Josh Allen. This isn't Patrick Mahomes. This isn't Joe Burrow. You know, this isn't any of those quarterbacks. You know, we always say it's the outlier. Jimmy Garoppolo seems to be the outlier in a lot of the playoff matchups because he advances and he's not that good.
No, he doesn't, but he does. And now they get their division rival, the LA Rams. Here's Matthew Stafford, who claims he's excited he gets to play San Francisco.
It's a big challenge. You know, they're a team that's playing really good football at the moment. Physical, tough, finding ways to win. Defense is playing outstanding. Their offense is playing timely. And obviously their special teams made some big plays last week. So, you know, it's going to be a big challenge for us. You know, hopefully it's, you know, one of those games where we come out and it's heavy, you know, blue and yellow, and we, you know, have a nice loud wow. crowd that makes it tough on them. So we'll see. I'm excited about the opportunity.
I played that. I had not listened to that soundbite before. I had no idea he made a reference like that. That's so funny. Yeah. Hopefully it's blue and yellow out there at SoFi Stadium. And now the Rams. Crazy as it may be, they are, and I think I read this in your email, or I read it right before we went on the air,
okay,
that the Rams are the first four seed to host a conference championship game since the Cardinals did it against the Eagles in Kurt Warner's year.
Who do you think they wanted to win? The 49ers own them, but they get a home game, but the 49er fans will be there. Tampa Bay's beat to hell. They're beat to hell. You'd have to go on the road to play them, but they're not that good.
But Green Bay. They would have had to play Green Bay. So who were they rooting for? Green Bay or San Francisco?
Yeah, like what would they have rather had? I'd rather have the home game, even though I can't beat the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, God, you'd think they'd rather be at home against the 49ers, but Kyle Shanahan owns the Rams, man.
Yeah,
he owns
Green Bay's got this terrible history of losing all these playoff games and never getting very far.
Yeah. I mean,
Stafford knows them, having played against them two times every year for forever.
We'll probably get into this over the course of the week, but Shanahan's numbers in the last six games against McVay and the Rams, it is, man. It's pure ownership. And we saw what happened in week 17, week 18 of the regular season, that, you know, down 17 points the way they did. I'd still like to think they'd rather be at home because now they have a chance, Gambo, to do exactly what Tampa Bay did a year ago. They can host the Super Bowl. They will not leave their home stadium for the rest of the postseason, talking about the LA Rams. They're home for the NFC title game. They're home for the Super Bowl. All they got to do is win. They're home. They don't have to leave.
And San Francisco trying to do what Tampa Bay did last year, get to the Super Bowl by winning all your games on the road.
Yeah.
They went to Dallas and they won. And then they go on the road and they upset the Packers. Now they could go beat the Rams, a team that they've owned. And all of a sudden you win three road games and you're in the Super Bowl.
As a Cardinal fan, doesn't it just piss you off, though? Doesn't it just piss?
It's a good question.
Doesn't
That's a
it
good
just
question.
Piss you
Does
off?
It? Does it? Because it's the Rams and I tweeted something out on Saturday. I tweeted something out. I'm like, are we headed towards an all NFC West?
Yeah, I responded to it, and I said,
did you?
Yeah, salt in the wound. It's bad enough. It's your season ended, and you didn't win a division title, and you lost in the first round. Man, that wound isn't even a week old. 1 week ago from right now, we were still 3 hours away from kickoff in that game. between the Rams and the Cardinals. Yeah. And 1 week later, you tell me I got to suffer the indignity of watching your two division rivals, two teams that you hate just as much as the Seahawks, and one of them gets to go to the Super Bowl and you don't? Yeah.
So what was the Saturday game? What was the Saturday night game?
The Saturday night game.
That was because they're all coming. I just watched all four games in a row.
It was Green Bay, San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah, it was
so when San Francisco beat Green Bay, I tweeted out, the thought of an all NFC West Conference championship game just hit me. Ugh.
Yeah. It's ugh. It's
8:59 on Saturday. I was like, wow, we might have it. Because I like you, we both picked the Rams to beat Tampa Bay, right?
We both picked the Rams to beat Tampa Bay, yes.
I think
yes.
We went 2-2. I had Buffalo, you had Buffalo.
Yeah, we did go 2-2.
I had Cincy, you had Cincy.
Yep.
I had Green Bay, you had Green Bay.
We had the same picks.
We were 2-2.
Yeah, we had the exact same picks. We went 2-2 this weekend. Should have gone 3-1.
I would never be a gambler. Like, how do you gamble this stuff? I mean, how do you gamble this stuff?
Do want to remind you that you can text us your thoughts on the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now if you're a Cardinals fan. How do you feel about your division rivals meeting in the NFC Championship game? But when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, let's take a break from football. Let's focus on what continues to be the best team in the NBA. And what was a high-profile matchup tonight still is. But injuries have really taken their toll on the Suns and the Jazz tonight, and in particular, injuries to two of the Suns' better players. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
Payne drives to his right, keeps coming, dishes low, Biombo's there for a wham, bam, slam. Bismack Biyombo. And we're tied at 20.
Fresh off of his interview on the Burns and Gambo show on Friday, Bismack Biyombo went out, had his best game as a member of the Phoenix Suns. 21 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, and the Suns beat the Pacers 113-103 on Saturday night. Gambo, a game probably more noteworthy for what happened on the injury front than the actual win itself. I mean, nothing against the win. It was a nice one. And the Suns at 36-9 continue to have by far the best record in the NBA. But you lose Cameron Payne to a wrist injury in the first quarter. You lose Jay Crowder to a wrist injury in the third quarter. And suddenly you become a lot more focused on that than you do necessarily the outcome of that game on Saturday.
Yeah, so DA's doubtful for tonight against the Jazz. Jay Crowder is out for that matchup. And you saw, you know, watching the game, you could just see, you know, Jay went up for the shot and he came down, and you could just see he's got that wrist. He just came down on that wrist. And then with Payne, it's the same thing. It's a wrist. And you haven't had DA for a few games here. And so you're starting to see some guys start to get injured. But it is amazing, just to me, just the level of players that can step up. Devin Booker was terrible in this game against Indiana.
He was awful.
He was absolutely brutal. I mean, it was one of the worst games I've ever seen Devin Booker play. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn in that basketball game. He was just terrible. But Indiana's playing without all their guys. I mean, Torrey Craig was starting, for goodness sakes. They didn't have Brogdon. They didn't have T.J. Warren. He's been out all year. They didn't have Miles Turner, the league-leading shot blocker. They didn't have Domantas Sabonis. He's got an ankle injury. They didn't have Caris LeVert. He's got a calf injury. And, you know, for the most part, the Suns were pulling away and winning that game pretty easy. And then all of a sudden, the Pacers made a little bit of a run. They kind of got back into the game. But the Suns, like they do, you know, late in basketball games, they're able to put that game away. And they did it because they did go on a little bit of a run. It was 105-99 with about 4 minutes left. And all of a sudden, Monty brings in Biyombo for JaVale. Cam Johnson hits a huge three-pointer. Book has a three-point play, and they're able to come away with a win. And the only thing that was kind of fun about the game was Devin Booker missed. As bad as things were for Book, he misses a windmill dunk with 31 seconds left that he is going to get teased about for a long time. A long time missing that windmill dunk.
Yeah, he is. But he did have a big shot late in that game as the Pacers were starting to kind of make it close. And it was
three-point play.
Yeah, that dagger shot with about 40 seconds to go that at least brought a little bit of relief, right, to the whole thing. Yeah, he's going to get a bunch. He was joking about it today at shoot-around at the lab where the Suns, you know, do all their training facility. He was even joking about missing that windmill dunk and how much crap he's going to get about that. Yeah, it was a lousy game for Booker. It was a great game for Chris Paul. He carved up the Pacers, Really good game from Mikal Bridges. Really good game for Bismack Biyombo. The concern now is, and in particular, not to minimize Campaign's injury, but Campaign was at least able to stay out there and play on that injury. He didn't leave right away. Anytime, and I mean anytime, you see a guy go down, and the first thing he does is sprint to the locker room, you get concerned about that, right? And Jay Crowder, he got up, and poof, he was gone. And then they showed Chris Paul, and he's visibly upset about what happened. He's not happy about how that went down, and he talked about it a little bit, about the injuries and trying not to be distracted by it.
No, you know, we all pros. We didn't play long enough. Things happen, you know, so play the game, then check on them after.
Now, the good news, Gambo, is that both of Jay and Cameron Payne were at shoot-around today. Remember, both of these wrist injuries are their non-shooting hands. So they both had braces on their non-shooting wrists today, and they were both at shoot-around. They're not going to play tonight. They've been ruled out. But the fact that they were there and the fact that they were shooting, maybe that's a decent sign for the two of them, and that it's not going to be anything super long-term for either one. Because you know that trade deadline is coming up in just a few weeks, and if it was something significant with either, then that might change dramatically what the Suns have to do going into that deadline, potentially.
Yeah, and I was looking forward to this game, but not as much now, right? Conley's out, Rudy Gobert's out, Donovan Mitchell's out. You know, Bogdanovich is questionable. Joe Ingles is questionable. Royce O'Neal is questionable. So we haven't seen the Jazz yet. We haven't seen it, but it's, you know, nationally televised on NBA TV. But neither team is anywhere near full strength. So the Suns have their own injuries that they're dealing with. So do the Jazz. The Jazz last 10 games, they've only won three times, so they're not playing very well, but I was looking forward to that game.
I was too, and they're on the second night of a back-to-back. They lost last night in Golden State, and it is disappointing because I had really kind of circled this one as one that I was looking forward to. But you're right, with all the guys out for both sides, I still look forward to Suns basketball, don't get me wrong, because they've got an 800 winning percentage right now. But when you're talking about Conley, Gobert, Mitchell, then a questionable Bogdanovich, a questionable Joe Ingles, a DeAndre Ayton who's doubtful, you know Crowder and Payne aren't going to play. It's just, it does. It takes a lot of the fun and the oomph out of it. And these two same teams going to meet again in a couple of days. Who knows who is available then? Who knows who's ready to go then? It is remarkable, though, if you were to look at the standings and look at the win percentage for each team in the NBA, this is how much separation the Suns are starting to get. There is only one team in the standings right now with a win percentage of 800. Of course, it's the Suns. There is only one team in the NBA right now with a win percentage in the 700s, and that's the Golden State Warriors. Everybody else is in the 600s. Everybody else. It's in the Western Conference, the Suns have 9 losses. Take the Warriors out of the equation. The next closest team is the Grizzlies with 17 losses. They're winning 80% of their basketball games right now. It's stunning what they're doing.
Boy, and they like how many games has Ayton missed this year?
A bunch.
Like your number one, your center, he's missed
20. He's only played in
27.
Yep. Yeah.
27 games.
17.
Okay. 17.
He's missed 17.
He's
games.
Played 28. He's missed 17. My bad. My math was not very good.
That's okay.
But yeah, so he's played in 28 games. He's missed 17. So you've missed 17 games out of him. And this team has went. I still want to pay DA, and I still think he's a max guy, and I dig all of that stuff.
But, man, I know, right? It makes it kind of tough, doesn't it?
God, it's just like, man, it doesn't matter. Like, they just keep winning.
Yeah.
They just keep winning. I mean, I was looking at a thing today, you know, and it says, one of the biggest beneficiaries of the 10-day hardship contracts this season has been veteran big man Bismack Biyombo. In 8 games, he's averaging 10 points, 7 rebounds, and shooting 70% from the field. He tied his career high with 21 points and 13 rebounds in that win over the Pacers. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, he has been unbelievable. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, pop quiz. Name the running back who was the star of this weekend's divisional playoff games. Go ahead. We'll give you a few minutes to decide who the star running back was this weekend in the divisional playoff games. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
Live from the Auction Community Studios, happy Monday to you. We hope you all very much enjoyed what was the most entertaining weekend of football I've ever experienced in my entire life watching football. And I'm 50 years old, and I can't remember a weekend that was like that, that had so much to talk about. Gambo, I'll be honest with you, it's been hard to keep it all straight sometimes today in talking about all these games, all these moments, the biggest blunders, the things we liked, the things we didn't, right? It's been very difficult to keep it all straight because it all was just so tremendously entertaining all weekend
long. It was funny because when we chatted earlier, it's like, okay, you know, easy show today. I'm like, man, God, it's just not that easy of a show because, like, how do we put this all together? Like, and different, not just like, hey, let's talk about the Buffalo-Kansas City game for one segment. And then let's talk about the San Francisco-Green Bay game for another segment. And then let's talk about the Tennessee-Cincinnati game. Like, that's like that. That almost seemed like a cop-out. Like, there was just so much. There was just so many other ways to talk about these games that we wanted to get into that wasn't just let's just break down the games because there was so many incredible angles with these games.
Yeah, agreed. And I thought, to be honest with you, I thought you did a really good job of looking for kind of different trends in these games as a way to kind of thread them all together and separate them. And one trend, and I'll be the first to, I hadn't noticed this at all. I've believed in this for a long time. You know that. But I had not noticed this with this weekend's game. Good luck finding the standout running back from the divisional games of the 2022 NFL playoffs.
Blown away. I was blown away by, because, you know, defense and running the football. Cold weather. You got to run the football in cold weather. Well, Kansas City was cold. Green Bay was cold. So you had a few of these games in cold weather, right? Cold weather. You got to run the football in cold weather. Here's your leading rushers for each game, okay?
Okay.
Start with the Cincinnati-Tennessee game. Mixon, 14 carries for 54 yards. Foreman, he actually had more yards than Derrick Henry. 4 carries for 66 yards. Derrick Henry was shut down completely. Like, he didn't have a good game. That's that game. Let's go to the Green Bay-San Francisco game. Mitchell, 17 carries for 53 yards. Jones, 12 for 41. Okay, let's go to the Rams game against Tampa. Akers, 24 carries, 48 yards, a whopping 2 yards per carry. Leonard Fournette, 13 carries, 51 yards. Then you go to the Buffalo-Kansas City game. The leading rusher for the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, 11 carries for 68 yards. The leading rusher for the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, 7 carries, 69 yards. The leading rushers in 4 games, the number one and the number two leading rusher in these 4 games with the 2 quarterbacks, Mahomes with 69 yards, Allen with 68 yards. That's the most yards that anybody had. The running backs were completely shut down in these games. They gave very little to their teams. And the running, I mean, this is all about, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, you want to know if it's a passing league? Nothing exemplifies that more than what happened this weekend. It's a passing league.
Oh, yeah, it's a passing league, all right. There's look, I'll take it one step further from those great numbers that you put together. I'm looking at the rushing leaders for the postseason so far. Two of the top three are not running backs. Josh Allen has the second most total rushing yards so far this postseason. Deebo Samuel has the third most rushing yards so far this postseason. Three of the top 7 total rushers so far this postseason are not running backs. Patrick Mahomes checks in at number 7. Yeah, it's, look, Chase Edmonds did great work for the Cardinals this year. James Conner did great work for the Arizona Cardinals this year. But the minimization of the running back in today's NFL has never been more obvious. It has never been more apparent. It has never been more clear. This is why you don't pay running backs big money. This is why you don't count on running backs in today's day and age to win you games. It just, you know, you get to this level. What was that story we talked about last week? The elite quarterback play and how at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Gambo, that's what it's all about when you're talking about January football. That's the most important thing. Elite quarterback play, who's got it, who doesn't.
And I'll tell you, when I looked at these numbers, I kept thinking, man, I wish Kyler Murray would have ran it 11 times.
I was thinking that, too.
I wish Kyler would have ran it seven times Allen did.
Yep, I was thinking exactly the same thing.
Yep.
I was thinking, wait a minute, I've got a team that's got one of the best running quarterbacks in the NFL. And why was that not utilized more? Why was that not part of the game plan more? Now, I just got done ranting and raving about elite quarterback play, and in my mind, I've got Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, screaming in my head, "Hey, dude, I'm not elite. What about me? Hey, dude, I'm not great quarterback play. What about me?" And yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo's kind of the exception at this point. With the game he played against the Packers, there was nothing special there. There was nothing special about the Niners' offense with Jimmy Garoppolo in charge of it. But yeah, the Cardinals, in theory, should have the type of quarterback that this time of year should excel in moments like this, which is what makes what happened not even a week ago all that more disappointing, Gambo, that they weren't able to take advantage of what is a very changing league right before our eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's and so it's the quarterback that ran, but then it's also, God, the impact on the running backs was not good. If anything, I mean, you saw running backs, Leonard Fournette, 4th-and-1, they gave him a ball, big play, stopped. Cam Akers, one of the biggest fumbles of the game.
Two of the biggest fumbles.
But the one late was unbelievable. Couldn't get anything going. I mean, so, you know, you have these running backs and, you know, these good football players, and the level that they contributed to their team's victories, slim to none.
Yeah, now I have to think if Derrick Henry doesn't miss 9 games with the injury, that he probably impacts that game a little bit more between Cincinnati, because I don't think it was all quite there for him. You know, didn't they say on the broadcast he was running with like a metal plate in his foot to help protect him? He obviously rushed his way back into that game, and I don't think he was all the way back, because he didn't impact it the way a lot of people thought. But yeah, even a guy like Leonard Fournette had the big touchdown that tied the game, but that was a passing game. Cam Akers, the two big fumbles. It was so now the question is, what do you do about this moving forward if you're an NFL team, right? What do you do about this if you're the Indianapolis Colts and it's time to pay Jonathan Taylor the big bucks? Do you? You know? What do you do if you're
it's such a big question. And God, you think when you have that special guy that you pay him and you hold on to him. But, you know, the running backs, you know, they're look at all the running backs that got paid in the past. Where's Todd Gurley these days, you know?
Yep.
You know, what's Saquon Barkley done since he was drafted, number 2 overall or somewhere around? Like, there's a lot of running backs that got paid, and you're like, okay, that didn't really pan out. That wasn't worth it. They get injured. Their span of being good is limited. It's 3 to 5 years. It's rare that you get a Curtis Martin. It's rare that you get that guy that's going to be good for 12 years. Adrian Peterson. Those guys are rare. Not to say that they don't exist. That's why it's tough, because you don't want to give that guy up. But look, I mean, Eric Dickerson got traded from the Rams to the Colts. He was the best running back in football. They traded him.
Yeah.
They traded Eric Dickerson.
What happens when Najee Harris, it's time for his contract extension, right? What happens when it's time for Nick Chubb's? Well, he might have already had one. I'd have to go look and see. Elijah Mitchell, wasn't he like a 5th-round pick?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're telling me you can't go. He was a 6th-round pick. Elijah Mitchell was the 194th player taken overall in the 2021 draft. I mean, if there's anyone who kind of highlights this, it's that dude right there. It's that I can find a running back who's good enough to get the job done in the postseason, and I can go take him and watch 193 players go off the board in the NFL draft, and I can still find that guy if I scheme it up right, if I draw it up right, if I find a guy who works the system. I'm telling you, as a rule, I would just never pay him, Gambo. Which is why, if you're the Cardinals, you got to be careful of how much James Conner is going to get in this offseason. And you got to be careful about how much Chase Edmonds is going to get in this offseason, because as valuable as those guys were, there is a limit to how valuable they are when
totally
it comes
agree.
To their price tag.
Totally agree.
There is a limit, and you cannot cross that if you're the Cardinals.
There is a limit. You've got to have a, you know, listen, I'm going to increase your salary. You deserve it. You deserve a raise. I'm going to give you more money. But if you think you're going to, you know, They your salary is going to jump from 1.75 to 8 to 9, $10 million a year. It's not happening. I got to spread that wealth out. I mean, is it worth it to give James Conner $4 million a year, maybe even $5 million a year? Sure. I mean, I think he's worth that raise, but I just don't think that, you know, but there is a number. You're like, okay, I'm not going past this. I'm just not going past it because there's a lot of free agents out there, and I'll just find another guy.
Yeah. The golf tournament, hailed as the People's Open, returns to the TPC Scottsdale as the Waste Management Phoenix Open tees off on February 7th, runs through February 13th. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com right now for your chance to win tickets, plus one lucky winner will win greenskeeper passes as well. When we come back, we talked about blunders from the divisional round, but hit zoom out, look at the big picture. Who of the teams that lost this weekend, and maybe even wider than that, who's been the biggest failure this season in the NFL? We've had some nominees from this past weekend. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
The NFL's Final Four, if you will. Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers, Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams. Four very good teams, four very good head coaches, four organizations, new blood in many regards, as Gambo has suggested. No Aaron Rodgers, no Tom Brady.
Love it.
But to get to this point and to see two number one seeds go down on the same day, to see every single underdog win this weekend, with the exception of the Kansas City Chiefs, and they needed overtime just to do it. You don't get to that point without somebody failing. You don't get to that point without it was a weekend full of surprises. So let's hit zoom out. Who's been the biggest failure this year in the NFL season?
Okay. Who's the biggest failure? Okay. We're going to take the Cardinals out of this, right?
I think if we're just talking, you can include them if you want. In my mind, I'm thinking the four teams that lost this weekend. In my mind, I'm kind of framing it like that. But if you want to include the Cardinals in that, given that they had the best record in the NFL on December 3rd and they got bounced in the first round of the playoffs, okay, you could count them as being one of the biggest failures in the NFL. In my mind, I'm thinking of the four teams that lost this weekend. You do it however you want to do it.
Okay, I'm going to say that it's the Packers. I'm going to say the Packers are the biggest losers. That their season is the biggest failure of anybody. You got Aaron Rodgers, could be for the final time. You got home field advantage. It's cold. It's in your stadium. Everything was positioned well for you to win it all. Now, you can make the argument for the other teams, but I would say my number one, the biggest failure to me, has got to be the Green Bay Packers.
I will tell you, I did see a stat somewhere that the Titans have never won a game as the number one seed in the AFC. Right, they're 0-3. So in some ways you can argue what defines failure more than that. I mean, you've never won a game when you're the number one seed, and in some ways that might be the very definition of failure. But I tend to agree with you that it's the Packers. I think the Packers, it's not only the Packers failed as the number one seed. It's not only that the Packers, as you pointed out, had the weather advantage, West Coast team. Jimmy Garoppolo had never started a game, had never taken a snap in conditions like that in his entire professional career. They had every single advantage going for them. I think the Packers are the biggest loser, too, because it seems like we were building towards this resolution of Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay, and now we're back to square one with that. Now, all the doubt about whether he's going to be back, all the uncertainty about whether he's going to be the quarterback next year, it's all back because nobody expected it to end like this for them. Nobody expected him to not be able to beat them again like he has for the previous three times in his career. And so I think because of that, we have set ourselves up for another crazy offseason of all sorts of speculation about what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. And I thought we were trending towards him staying there because it seemed like everything had been fixed. Now it's kind of all broken again, and I don't know where we go from there with
that. So now if we said, okay, who's the second biggest failure? Is it the Bucs for not being able to repeat, which nobody has done? in 18, 19 years. We haven't had a repeat champion since the Patriots in the early 2000s. They had a home game. Or is it the Bills?
You know what? I'm laughing because it's the Bills, man. 13 seconds. 13 seconds. You were 13 seconds away. I mean, that game was over. I probably shouldn't admit this. I had a little teeny tiny eensy weensy little bet on that game last night, and I was 13 seconds away from cashing in on that bad boy. 13 seconds. And I thought it was over. I don't know how that's it. It's done. It's over. There's 13 seconds. Patrick Mahomes is a god, but even he is not going to get Kansas City in a position to win the field goal, win the game on a field goal with 13 seconds to go. I don't care how many timeouts he's got. It's just not going to happen. To be in a position like that and not be able to finish, to not be able to vanquish Mahomes, I think I would put them as the second biggest failure. You got to win that game. Who would you have second?
I mean, it's hard not to pick. I know Tennessee's never. It's hard not to take Tennessee. You got the number one seed. You got your running back back. You got a home field advantage. You had the bye. Just look at those teams with the bye and the home field advantage, and you blow it. It's like, oh, it's just hard not to. I understand the Bills. I mean, I get it. Like, everything that happened in the game, as crazy as it was, 13 seconds.
Yeah.
Make a play. Make a stop.
Yep.
And there's so many ways they could have done. People, did you squib kick and then you hold everybody for a 5-yard penalty? The clock runs out. Like, you get to do that once. Somebody broke it down. Like, just grab everybody. Squib kick it. And then on the next play, grab every receiver to hold them. That's a 5-yard penalty. Take it. There was a breakdown of how you could have, if you knew what you were doing, you could have ended that game with them having maybe one play.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I'd love to say it's the Bucs because they were home, the defending Super Bowl champs. Man, it's hard to repeat as Super Bowl champs in this league. And I'm not giving them a pass, but they were so beat up with all the injuries. Is it really that much of a shock that the Rams went in there and beat them? Not to me, it's not. You know, I'm not. And the Titans, man, how many times did we have the conversation last week that the Titans might be one of the worst number one seeds in the history of number one seeds in the NFL? Well, we had that conversation at least two or three times.
We did.
There's nothing.
So it's hard to have expectations for them. I get it. The Bucs, I mean, is that a failure? They won the Super Bowl last year. They had Tom Brady. You only have Tom Brady for a short amount of time. When you have Tom Brady, you expect to win a Super Bowl. You had a home game, and you lost.
Yeah. Yeah, Yes, their injuries caught up with them, and it's so hard to repeat. I mean, who is it? The Buccaneer or the
2003, the Patriots? 4.
Okay, so you're going on nearly 20 years, right? And Seattle probably should have, with not for Malcolm Butler on the 1-yard line, and if they had run the ball with Marshawn Lynch instead of trying to throw the ball, Seattle probably. But you know, they didn't, and that happened. And so it's very hard to repeat. Now, if you're going to include teams not from this weekend who didn't lose this weekend, yeah, you can put the Cardinals in that conversation. They were 10-2 the first weekend of December. I think you can also put the Colts in that conversation. All they had to do was beat the Jacksonville Jaguars and get into the playoffs, and they didn't. And that's a massive failure. I mean, that's a humongous
failure. You're right, because when you look at some of the teams that that lost in that first round, the Eagles, the Cowboys could say they're a disappointment, but we know they're a joke. You can say, oh, it was a disappointing season, but you're a joke. The Eagles, you're a joke. That's the NFC East. The Steelers? The Steelers are never winning that game. They were just happy to be there. We're in the playoffs.
Hey, Ben, congratulations. It's a nice little send-off present for you. Here you go. Yeah,
people get to see you one more time on a national stage. The Raiders, maybe. I liked that Derek Carr team. I did. So maybe the Raiders, not the Steelers. Not the Patriots?
They had a rookie quarterback. It kind of felt like with the Patriots, it was bound to happen sooner or later. Right? Eventually, the fact that they had a rookie quarterback was going to catch up to them, and it did that night against Buffalo. Yeah, I think the Packers, because the Packers are the one where like you can say like, well, okay, the Bills, an era didn't end last night for Buffalo. They're still going to come back next year. Josh Allen's going to be a year better. Josh Allen's going to be a year what? Josh Allen is going to get his eventually. He is just way too good not to. But I think the Packers are at the top of if Tom Brady, I don't even know if an era ended. I suspect he's probably going to be back, but I don't know for sure. For the Green Bay Packers, an era just might have ended on Saturday night against a team that you're 0-4 against in the postseason with your star quarterback when you had home field advantage and the cushiest of all draws, and you still couldn't get it done. Yeah, that's the biggest fail. You haven't won a Super Bowl since, what, 2010? You've got one of the best quarterbacks of this generation, and you haven't won a Super Bowl since 2010? Yeah.
You drafted a quarterback in the first round a few years ago to replace him.
It's the Packers.
San Francisco drafted a quarterback to replace Garoppolo. Neither one of those guys are playing.
It's the Packers. It's the Packers. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, was this the greatest weekend of football ever? It's hard to even look past the recency bias. I don't even know what else would come close. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo show.